Every word you say is a seed of some type. And you are planting. And we said words are always seed. They're going to always be seed. And I'm going, by the Spirit of God, I'm going to show you this morning that everything you do and see and hear is a seed. It started that way. Hallelujah. We said that the DNA of God is in his word. And that all the faith you need is in the seed of the word. Turn to John chapter 1, St. John chapter 1, verse 1. Now, I know this is familiar to a lot of people, and those that read the Bible through with us, I know this kind of, I got stuck right here for when I was reading through, and I had to say, okay, move on. Because this read like this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, so the God and the Word cannot be what? Separated. And if the word, according to Mark 4, is seed, then the word, the seed of the word, was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. When I looked up the word things, because, you know, sometimes you had to pause and see law. And, you know, we could just look at it and say, everything we see was made by Jesus. But it says in Hebrew, the root word for things is words. So all words, because everything you see used to be a seed. And it started with words, because words are always seeds. Oh my goodness. So everything we see, hear, touch, feel, it was spoken into existence. This is why praying in tongues is so vital to your development, because that's the only way you can pray out the will of God for your life. It has to be spoken for it to manifest. And a lot of us don't pray consistently in tongues, so that we think we're praying for a current issue when you could be praying for your destiny. You need to start saying and speak it out. Say, Lord, I'm praying for my destiny, and start praying in tongues. Why? Because I'm planting. I'm planting what I want in my future. And I'm speaking it now. Sister Regina reminded me the other day how that when we were in the conference suite, I was teaching about to the women, especially about taking care of what to say before you get into the menopause. And she was remarking how that I didn't have a difficult time. You know why? Because I spoke back then what I wanted in my future. What we see in you today are a conglomeration of words that were spoken to you or through you. Either way, you received it. And it manifested itself. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. See, because when you understand, according to Genesis, that the whole kingdom operates on one principle: seed, time, and harvest. That's the only principle that the kingdom operates on. Now, it's got laws that governs different things, but the principle is always the same. Do you have 1 Peter 1? Look at verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, not of corruptible seed, the seed that's in you, it cannot be corrupted. The seed of God, if he's in you, he cannot be corrupted. But of incorruptible, by what? The word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So in other words, what it's saying, that word, that seed that's in you called born again, cannot be corrupted. by your external issues. Because it's out of God. And any word that come out of God cannot be corrupted. It has no death in it. It lives and abides, and it will grow inside of you if you will allow it. Say it's all in the seed. Say it again. Say it's all in the seed. Look at Ephesians 2. And it's all in the seed. Because everything we're looking at is a seed in its developing stage or in its mature form. But it started with a seed. Look at verse 4 in Ephesians 2. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead, we used to be dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. So the seed of born again is not yours. It was a gift of God. Not of works. You didn't have to work it or earn it. Otherwise, you had opportunity to boast. For we are his workmanship. We are his planting. We are his workmanship. We are his planting. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. What am I reading all this for? Because you need to understand, without the word, the seed of the word, you were nothing until that was planted in you. Ooh, Jesus. Having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself. So he died as a seed. He planted himself as a seed. He yielded himself to death in order to bring forth one good harvest called Christians, what we call ourselves Christians. But the church is what you're noted as. Jesus called us the church. He brought forth the church, the ecclesia, his governing body. That's who you are. You are his governing body in the earth. That's why you can be called the body of Christ. These are political terms, or for lack of saying, these are governmental terms. When you say body, they're not talking about this physical body. It's talking about the conglomeration of people. You are his body. But you started out with the seed of him. He became the seed and died and was rose and was resurrected from the dead so you can become the manifest, the harvest. Man, I'm going to tell you. Yeah, hallelujah. Maybe that don't hit you like it hit me. But, you know, I'm trying to tell you, we got to move away from what we think and begin to become kingdom-minded. When you start studying this Bible again through the eyes of a kingdom mind, and I get up and I say, Lord, I thank you that I'm part of the kingdom. I am a kingdom citizen, and you brought me forth through your son, Jesus. I am alive today because he was willing to die as a seed. Woo, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, there's life in this seed. Look at Proverbs 4, 20 and 23. Hallelujah. There's life in that seed. My son, talking to his not just a natural son, but that office, my son, attend to my words. Attend to my seeds. Attend to my seed. Attend to my seed. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Why? For they are life unto those that find them. Oh, so they have to be sought after. They are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. So that there must be a seeking and a asking and a knocking that I must do in order to access it. Now, my born again gives me the right to it, but I must pursue it. I must pursue the life that he died to give me. Oh, man. He says, so keep your heart with all diligence. Why? For out of your heart going to flow all the issues of your life. From your heart, from your governing inside, all the issues about your life, you're going to speak from that place. And what you say from that place is going to direct your life. You are a speaking being. God made you so. So the word is life to those that find it and health to their flesh. So then we can boldly state the health is in the seed of salvation. Money is in the seed of salvation. Everything I need is in me. Oh, Jesus. You better fasten your, because everything I need has already been put in me. But I must seek it. Now, how do I seek it? Jesus said, according to Matthew 6:33, seek ye first. So there's a seeking. How do I seek the kingdom? I go to his word and learn his ways. The Bible declared that the Israelites knew God's acts, but Moses knew his ways. He wanted us to know his ways because that's how you access the life that's in the seed. It's knowing the God who made you. Turn to Philippians 2. Hey, we're being commanded to do something here. Look at verse 12, Philippians 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out here means to cultivate. Work out, cultivate what is in you. It's the seed of righteousness. It is in you through the new birth. The seed of righteousness is in you. And it came with everything you are, who you need, what you need. But you must work it out. So then we are to cultivate or bring to its full effectiveness so that someone else can eat from the harvest in our life. Just like our life is because of Jesus, somebody else's life is hinged because of your life. Somebody else's life is dependent on your harvest. So he says, cultivate it. Make it In other words, that seed has potential. Say potential. Say it one more time. Say it just one more time. So the seed has potential. That means the seed possess or it is showing the capacity to become greater. So who you are sitting in this chair this morning or looking online, there's a greater depth of you that you have not released into the atmosphere yet. You have not finished. If you're still breathing, you're still growing. There's some more in you that has to come out. He says, but that's called your potential. Oh, Jesus. He says that potential is possessing or showing the capacity to become greater or in the process of developing or being made. So you can be developed, and that's okay because you're being made and fashioned after Jesus. Mm. So he says that seed has potential. The seed is always, the word is always seed, and then that word has potential. You got to understand. So when you say to yourself, I'm ugly, that ugly seed has potential. It's going to bring depression and oppression in your life. It's going to bring rejection into your life. Because not only does ugly make you think you are ugly, but it brings other characteristics with it. It brings other attributes with it. It makes you not want to blend with people. Makes you not want to be around people because you don't think you fit. See, you got to be careful what you say to yourself. Oh, my hair just. Oh. See, I don't fret like that. That's why we go to that what store? You know. Because I ain't got time to play that game. When I can take it off and put it on. Works for me. Because the older you get, the less you want to mess with some of this stuff. And you find the easy route. Why? Because it keeps you from saying dumb stuff. Because every dumb word you say, it's impacting something. You may forget it, but it's in the atmosphere. You released it. And if you don't go back and retrieve it, and get rid of it, just like Pastor DJ taught Wednesday night, it's building a stronghold. Now, strongholds can be good and strongholds can be bad. Amen? Turn to Mark 4. We know this one, but go to verse 30. Mark 4, verse 30. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. See, what we got to, you know, the Lord began to show me something. I can't teach it today, so I got to kind of harness myself. But about tithing and giving, man. Whew. See, that's why you got to be open for constant changing and growing. Because what we knew last year about tithing and giving, there's more about it. Nobody on this planet know everything about God yet. I don't care how smart they are. There's a deeper, deeper well that they can draw from. Hallelujah. And anybody with good sense wouldn't say they have arrived. They say they're growing. Hallelujah. Like Pastor Privilege, my spiritual dad would say, something on the inside, working on the outside. Hallelujah. Hey, Dad, in case you're watching. Mark 4, verse 30. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? That's a question. It is like, now he's answering them, it is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, say it has to be sown. It has to be sown. Why am I keep saying this to you? Because I want you to walk away understanding that you have to plant the word. You got a lot of stuff in you that you planted. And it started when you were a kid, but it's in you nonetheless, and you got to pluck that stuff up. He says, but it's like the grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge. See, I told you somebody's got to live off your harvest. May lodge under the shadow of it. So when you get money, that money just not for you to hoard it. Money is to be used as a tool so that you can bless others and bring them into the same light that you're walking in. Ah. Watch this. So when the word is sown into the heart, it seems like starting out seems little. You know, when you first start quoting the word, you don't even really sense it. You know, you just, it's like you're doing a ritual. You go and say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And you say that, and you say that. And then, but you're doing what? I'm planting. I'm changing my mind. I'm changing my mind. Because you got to get that mind to accept the new you. Remember, we talked about that. So he doesn't accept unless you change your vocabulary. He doesn't have to change if you don't change what you say. The mind does not have to comply. And you're going to have a hard time manifesting what's in you without the cooperation of the mind. It cannot be done. So you have to get that mind to comply by changing what you say. Listen to me, if you don't learn nothing else today, you got to stop saying the things that go against the word. Now, if you don't know what the word says, that's still your fault. Get in there, find out what the word says. I would pick, if I'm dealing with health, I would pick every scripture I can find and begin to say what the word says about me. If I'm dealing with money issues, you need to go to the word and change your mouth. Because you can't change anything in your life until you change your mouth. It's not going to happen. God's not going to drop an umbrella down in your lap with money in it. He's not going to do it. You got to change the direction. Let me keep reading. So when the word is sown into the heart, it seems little starting out. But as it develops in you, the greatness, say the greatness, that is in the seed of the word begins to show or come forth. And it becomes, say becometh, greater than sickness, greater than your money issues, greater than your family issues. It grows up and become a big tree. So all your family can look at it and say, what happened? They used to argue and fuss and fight. They were on their way to a divorce. What happened? The word grew up inside of them. And it overtook and got rid of what was bad. Oh, Jesus. It's greater than sickness. But you can't put it in there and then go back the next day and say something contrary. You don't know much about farming. Because any farmer watching you, they would want to kill you almost. Because they understand the process. Mm. And most believers don't want to wait the process. We want to microwave everything. And there are some steps you just can't skip and get the manifestation. Mm. Because in your tongue, there's something the Bible says that your mouth can carry. Two things your mouth can carry. Look at Proverbs 18. I know some of y'all know this one, but that's all right. We're going to read it. Proverbs 18, look at verse 20 and 21. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. So in other words, if he don't talk right, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Okay, so his mouth's still talking. So he's struggling. I'm broke. You know, every time I turn around, they're going up on gas, the food going up. Okay, that might be a fact, but the seed of the word says, I'm greater than that. You plant me, you're going to get some money. You plant me and let me grow, you have some food, you'll never be without. And sometime in your seasons of developing that word, it looks like the return is slow. But you can't give up because it's banking the harvest that will transform the inside and the outside. You'll never go backwards again. Oh, man. He says in verse 21, death and life, two things live in your mouth. You got to choose which one you're going to say every day, all day long, because your mouth has the ability to speak death and life are in the power, are in the words of the tongue. And they that love the words of the tongue, they're going to eat the fruit thereof. So whatever your tongue is saying, that's what you eat. That's what you eat. Because that's all you can manifest is what you keep saying. Jesus said it in Mark 11, 23 through 25. He says that you should have whatever you say. Whatever you say. Not what I say, whatever you say. What are you saying when you're home by yourself? And not when you're in here with me. What are you saying in that private time when you're laying in your bed and you're feeling like somebody did you wrong? What are you saying? You're saying you're giving up on God? You're giving up on the seed of the word? Or the doctor gave you a report that didn't sound good, now you're going to give up on the seed of health? He says, in your tongue is the ability to speak death and life. One translation says it like this. Words satisfy the mind as much as fruit does the stomach. Good talk is as gratifying as a good harvest. Words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. You are choosing. And you know when you're saying something wrong. All of us know when we're cussing. Cussing is not a mistake. Did you know that? You know why you can say that cuss word? Because it's still there. And you said when nobody's paying you any mind, that's why it hasn't left. So everybody know when they cussing. Do you not know saying what goes against the word of God is cussing? You're cussing. Not cursing, you're cussing. Obviously, words are important to our success or our failure in life. We know that, right? We know that our words have the ability to affect our future or our potential. Why? We just read it. Our tongue determines whether we reap death or life. So as much as you like to give a whole lot of things, but your mouth is what got you where you are. Ooh. Your mouth got you where you are. Before I got married, there was a young lady that she had a beautiful voice for singing, but she wanted a testimony so bad that, you know, she wanted to be this noted for having, she could sing, but that wasn't good enough for her that the Lord had blessed her with the ability to sing. She wanted this testimony like she had been through the mud and through the grime and almost lost her mind. See, and she kept saying stuff like that, and she lost her mind. She lost her mind. And they had to put her away for a while. And she was having children that didn't exist. See, her words got her there. You don't need no great testimony like that, apart from, I got born again, Jesus keeps me alive, that's how I live, that's it. You don't need to try to race with somebody else. You see somebody on TV, say, man, that's a powerful testimony. I wish I had a testimony like that. Mm-hmm. Don't set the stage for something. So let's see what James teaches us about the tongue. Turn to James chapter 3. I'm going to let you go early today, I think. You know I'm not in control, right? I'm in control, but I'm not in control. How many of y'all understand that? Hallelujah. James chapter 3, verse 1, starting with verse 1. When you have it, say, I have it. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in what? In word. The same is a perfect man or a mature person. A mature person know how to curtail their mouth. Yeah. And able also to bridle the what? The whole body. Oh, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeneth. Even so, that little thing in your between your two lips and sitting in between your teeth called the tongue is a little member, but it's got a lot of power and boasted great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. And then it's talking about how the tongue, every beast can be tamed. See, tame is something you do by repetition to tame somebody. You can't tame the tongue apart from the Holy Ghost. We're reading it. You can't tame it without the Holy Ghost. It's going to go back to its natural characteristics. You were born into sin. And it's easier to sin than it is to live holy. How many of y'all know that? Go down to verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Okay. That doesn't talk too well about your mouth, does it? But what is James saying here? He's saying that the tongue, James said that even though our tongue is small in size, it has the potential or the ability to set the course or the direction of my life. It is what regulates the direction of my life. Because the only way I can release faith is through my mouth. The only way I can release fear is through my mouth. The only way I can release poison is through my mouth. So when I speak poison, I'm setting my life on a different course. When I speak faith, I'm staying on the course that God set for me. You see, because it's in your mouth, it's all in the seed. So James said, even though that tongue is small in size, it has the potential or the ability to set the course or direction of your life. So you can say it like this: my mouth steers my life. My mouth steers my life. Now, according to James, your tongue can't be tamed to say anything different or right without being disciplined. He says it takes the wisdom and the counsel of the word to redirect the tongue. That's the only thing that can tame it, is the word. Oh, Jesus. So you might start off speaking wrong. Then the more you speak the word, and as that word becomes more developed in you, it will begin to correct your mouth and your life will turn into another direction. Every time I turn around, every man I meet, all they want to do is just hurt me, hurt me. You saying that. And you keep drawing those kind of people unto you. You said that. And then when it happens, kind of like I was watching this movie, and the lady said, I know he's going to hurt me, and she was doing everything she could to make him leave. She had been married and divorced twice. And she felt so rejected that she was kind of hard on this guy that really loved her. And he told her, he says, I'm a new seed. When I heard that, I'm going like, hey, that boy got something. Somebody told him something right. He says, I'm a new seed. I start all over, and you'll forget the ones that hurt you. And I'm going like, that boy been to church. I said, he must have went to church and heard that, and they just stuck it in the movie. But that's happened a lot to see, because she was so tuned in to being hurt. She didn't know how to accept her life being redirected to the good. And a lot of you fight against what's good for you because it's too much more than you can handle, because you're so used to things breaking down, falling apart, you're arguing, and then you get back together, and then you fall apart, you argue some more, you have babies, and you're just so used to that lifestyle. That when the seed of the word comes and say, oh, you can have a good family. Life can be good. You can actually love one another. You can like being around one another. And you can see it in somebody else, but it's hard for you to believe. Because you're so used to the ugly. The word comes to redirect your tongue. So the first thing he has to impact is your mouth. Because your mouth is the gateway to the heart. So unless you eat right, your body can't experience right. So unless you eat that word and let it go down and plant itself, it cannot produce. I don't care how much you want a good relationship. You're going to keep getting it ugly. Because you're not replacing it with something that is greater than what you're used to. It is important that even in your, that you build one another up. Even in your times of you having what my husband and I just said, we having our discussions. Because as we got to a place where we really didn't argue. And if we disagreed about something, you get to the place that you know each other so well that you don't have to go through all the emotional. Well, you said it. See, we lost all of that. That was too much work. As you grow up, that's too much work. Take too much energy to fuss. I could use that for something else. I said, okay, baby. Or he might say, yeah, okay. We'll talk about it later. See, you learn to disagree without becoming disagreeable. Because you're planting seeds. And if you're not careful, you're starting stuff in an argument that you have no idea that's going to bring a harvest to you. Because you didn't go back and ask your wife or your husband to forgive you. You just kind of glossed it over. And neither one of y'all humbled yourselves. And you just kind of glossed it over. Then you start talking to one another again. Acting like that was gone. No, it's still present. You just don't see it. It's building. It's waiting for the next opportunity. And every time y'all have an argument, it gets bigger and stronger. Ooh, Jesus. Getting ready to close in just a moment. So you might start out speaking wrong, but the more you speak the word of God, and as that word becomes more developed in you, it will begin to correct your mouth and redirect the course of your life. You might want to write this one down. We live in the reality that we have created with our own words. We live in the reality that we have created with our words. Trouble sometimes is the bitter fruit of all the wrong things we have spoken over time. And the only way to get out of that trouble is to talk differently. This is why it's not good to rehearse your problem. Quit talking your problem, because it magnifies, it gives it respect, and it doesn't need that. Talk the word of God. Now, those online, listen, whether you believe what I said or not does not change the truth. What you say with your mouth are seeds going somewhere to be sown in the heart, and one day you will have the harvest of what you have sown. Amen. Did you learn a thing this morning? Amen.